Did you guys have a good day? Good. I am tired, man. Where's Manny? Where's Manuel and Gabe? Where are you guys? Gabby? Yeah, where are they? Right over there. Those guys wore me out today. They reminded me that I'm 36 years old, actually. We played basketball and Manny took it to me over and over and over again. But I do want to try it with my shoes on. So it's on. It's on. Yeah. All right, this is a little song I wrote. Actually, I didn't write this. I woke up with it in my head one morning. I think the Lord wrote it. So it goes like this. So all you gotta do is repeat after me, just like the Heaps of Lambs song, very similar. It goes like this. Praise Jesus all the way. We're gonna praise Him every day. Praise Jesus, sing with me. He rose again and set us free. Praise Him, don't be ashamed to lift up His holy name. This part's harder, you ready? Clear your throats. Came to earth and lived and died. We could have eternal life. All right, you got it. Good job. Okay, now all you got to do is on this next part, it goes like this. It goes, get up. Get up. Get down. Get down. All right. And then I'm going to say, feel the joy. Feel the joy. You got to stand back up. Feel the joy. Now spin around. Good job. Okay, you got it. Ready? Everybody sit down. All right, it was like this. Ready? You got to keep up with me. Ready? Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around, get up. Wow, you guys are going to have to spin around and sit down really fast. All right, sit back down. All right, you ready? Ready? Here we go. Okay, ready? Get up. Get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Sit down! Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Spin around, spin around. Praise Jesus all the way. We're gonna praise Him every day. Praise Jesus, sing with me. He rose again and set us free. Praise Him, don't be ashamed to lift up His holy name. Came to earth and lived and died so we could have eternal life. All right, you ready for the next part? You guys got it. Well, I want to tell you about Jesus and His heart of burning love. He is what you're looking for. You don't need this world no more. He'll change your heart and heal your pain. You will call upon His name. Trust in Him and let Him guide. He will lead you through this life. Praise Jesus all the way. We're gonna praise Him every day, all week. Praise Jesus, sing with me. He rose again and set us free. Praise Him, don't be ashamed to lift up His holy name. Came to earth and lived and died so we could have eternal life. Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Get up, get down, feel the joy, now spin around. Get up, get down, feel the joy. Now spin around, spin around, spin around. Yeah! Praise Jesus all the way. We're gonna praise Him every day. Praise Jesus, sing with me. He rose again and set us free. Praise Him, don't be ashamed to lift up His holy name. He came to earth and lived and died so we could have eternal life. Yeah! All right. Please remain calm. There's nothing to see here. All right. Isn't that fun? That's what I thought. And you know what? What's cool about it is that God is so fun because He wrote that. Like literally, I was laying one morning in my, I was laying there, and the song was going through my head. Like, da, na, 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 na. The praise of Jesus, the line is actually praise Jesus all the way. I thought that's pretty good. And then it just kept coming, so I was like, I better get my pen out. And I got my pen out and just started writing. And it just, that's because God just wants us to have a good time, you know? He wants us to be serious. He wants us to have a good time being serious. Amen. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we get to praise you every single day, Lord. In fact, you tell us to praise you in all circumstances. Sometimes that's tough. Especially when we just flunked a test. Lord, I just thank you that this week we get to not only praise you, but we get to talk about you, we get to pray to you, spend time with you together as a group. Thank you so much, Lord. I just ask, Jesus, that you come into this place, that your Spirit would be here with us. Father, I know that we have an enemy who wants to distract and burden and just cause havoc if he can. So Lord, I just bring the cross of Jesus Christ between us and him and just ask your angels to be around this place as we talk for a few minutes today together. Thank you so much for these kids, Lord, and for their exuberance and their energy. It's awesome. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I better move this pen because it's going to be my death. I've never fallen on stage yet, so that would be a new one. All right, well, you know, we were talking about high school this morning. Imagine that, a bunch of high school students talking about high school. I had a good time with you guys today. I got to meet a lot of young people. How many of you saw the prayer box in the ad building? Good, good. Just like to encourage you to fill that thing up. You know, God just totally wants to hear your prayers. You know that? He wants to hear your prayers, guys. He really does. You know, it says, Paul actually says in the Bible to pray without ceasing. That means like you're constantly in prayer. Like you go to the cafeteria and you're like, should I have a falafel or not, Lord? Yeah, I think I want a falafel, definitely. Should I put tomatoes on it? Yeah, I definitely want tomatoes. You know, I mean, I talk to God about everything. I mean, I think sometimes people think I'm weird because I'll be walking down the sidewalk saying, yeah, Lord. Yeah. And it's like, oh, wait, he's one of those crazy people. No, I just like to pray, man. Praying's cool. I like to be in communion with God. I like to talk to him all the time, and that's what he wants. So put your prayer requests into the prayer box, and then don't just put your prayer requests into the prayer box. Pray for the other prayer requests that are in the prayer box before you put yours in. And then when you walk away, pray for the prayer requests in the prayer box. And this week, how many of you will promise to pray for the prayer requests in the prayer box? That's not very many people. How many of you promise to pray for the prayer requests in the prayer box? All right, good, good. Pray for the prayer requests in the prayer box. All right, I want to tell you guys a little bit more about me when I was in high school. I told you guys this morning that I had a bit of an identity crisis. Hey, who's talking here? Robert, I'm going to point to you every time. Wherever Robert's at. He's a lot like me. When I was in high school, I didn't really have any idea who I was. And I spent a lot of time... Do you guys mind if I come down here?
No.
Oh, there we go. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out who I was when I was in high school. And I was pretty convinced right away when I got to high school, I was pretty convinced that who I was that I was an athlete. And the reason I was convinced of that is because my sophomore year when I showed up at UCA, I didn't really have any friends. I didn't know anybody. And I went down to the gym. We actually had to go down to Liberty High School my first year because the gym wasn't done yet. I went down to the gym and I played some basketball, and then all of a sudden I had friends. Like, hey, he's cool, man. You can shoot. You know? So I was pretty convinced that I was an athlete. Pretty convinced of that. You know, and then, you know, being an athlete and everything, I thought I was pretty cool being an athlete. But then one day I was in the shower, you know, like in the guy's dorm, and I started singing, and I will always love you. And I realized, you know, wait a second. Maybe I'm a singer. Maybe that's what I'm born to do. You know? Maybe I'm gonna be a singer someday. Maybe that's who I am. I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna record music and I'm gonna be famous and I'm gonna be a singer. And then I went down to the band, over the band area there where Mr. Lang was, and he taught me how to play this instrument called a trombone. And I started getting pretty good at the trombone, and I thought, you know, maybe I'm gonna be like a professional trombone player someday. Like, maybe that's what I'm gonna do. And then I joined the gymnastics team with Mr. Soule. And I thought, you know, maybe, actually, I don't know if I ever thought I was going to be a gymnast. I was pretty hopeless. But then, you know, there was this other thing that I had when I was here, and I noticed right away when I came onto campus, and it was really hard not to notice, and it was the young ladies were hot. And I was like, man, maybe I'm just meant to be a ladies' man. But you know, no matter how hard I tried at that thing, I just couldn't seem to pull it off when I was in high school. You know, but then by my junior year, I started becoming pretty popular by my junior year, probably because I was like the loudest guy on campus, and so it was hard not to know who I was. And I started getting pretty popular, and you know, I started thinking that maybe who I am is based on my popularity. Like, maybe because I'm popular, because when I go places, people are like, hey, that's Reed, and what's up, Reed? And no, Reed's cool, and yeah, hanging out with Reed. And I started thinking that I was pretty cool. In fact, my junior year, I thought I was so cool that all of my friends actually sat me down in the middle of my junior year and said, Reed, you're a jerk. You're a jerk. Why are you being a jerk? In fact, Soule benched me my junior year. And you know why? You know why he benched me? I'll tell you why. He benched me because I had an attitude problem. I had an identity problem. Listen, guys. I had an identity problem, and I had an attitude problem. I thought I was all of these things. I thought I was hot stuff because I could do all this. Then I went through some stages where I thought, you know, I'm hip-hop. Because I could do a couple dance moves. And I thought, yeah, you know, I'm hip-hop. But then my friends made sure to tell me that is not true. So then I got into rap for a while. The other night I met a girl and she looked to be so nice. I asked her for her digits and she didn't think twice. A couple days later, called her up and asked her out. She said, with you, I said, with me. And then she said, without a doubt. Took her to the garden where I guess they grow the olive. She wore a tighter skirt than any I had seen in college. She said she liked to smoke and drink while cursing like a sailor. I asked her where she got her mouth and if she had a tailor. Finally, I took her to the door to say goodnight. She said, I am an apple. Would you care to take a bite? Politely, I refused and said, I'm looking for a lady. Then she slapped me in my face and said, boy, you must be crazy. But the reality is, guys, I am not a rapper. So then I got into college a little later, and after high school, and I kind of got into, you know, like being into the grunge scene. And I like to wear no shoes and go barefoot everywhere and just to feel the earth. You know? Because I wanted to experience everything, you know. And I kind of got into that whole scene for a while. And, you know, the reality is, like I said this morning, I just didn't have a clue who I was. I didn't have a clue. And I was just searching, just trying to figure it out, you know. I had people that would sit me down and tell me things. I remember a friend sat me down one time and said, you know, I think that you're going to be like a pastor or something someday. And I went, yeah, right. Whatever, man. I'll never be a pastor. In fact, when it came time to vote for ASB office, for some reason they voted me to be the school chaplain. And I remember I was like, fine, I'll do it, you know. And then they would like take votes for a week of prayer, and then next thing you know, I'm a week of prayer speaker. I didn't get it. So, let me ask you guys this tonight. Who are you? Are you an athlete? Are you the girl that always has on the designer clothes? Yeah, are you the car that you drive to school if you're a village student? Are you who you are because you're popular? Because everybody knows your name when you walk around campus, or because you got the best shot, or because you're the strongest guy on the gymnastics team? Are you who you are because, listen guys, are you who you are because you're a musician? How about because you're so smart that everybody comes to you for help with their schoolwork? Are you who you are because you're a party animal? Because you're kind of the guy in the dorm that like everybody comes to your room to hang out and get messed up? Are you who you are because you're not very good looking? Are you who you are because you're not very good looking and you walk around with your head hanging down and you feel like nobody really cares about me, I'm not popular, I don't have anything to offer because I'm not very pretty or I'm not very handsome? Is that who you are? Are you who you are because you're super good looking and you walk around? Do I have you guys' attention? Do I have you? Stay with me here, guys. Are you who you are because of your looks? I will tell you guys that these things are part of who you are. But do they make you who you are tonight, sitting here in this church? You see, most people, in fact, almost all people, have an identity crisis. All of us. Most people are convinced that who they are is based on what they do. Most people are convinced that who they are is based on how they look, how other people look at them. Low self-esteem and self-hatred comes from this belief that I have to prove who I am to you. That you have to like me in order for me to be somebody. That I've got to be popular, I've got to be beautiful, I've got to be something, and I have to get your opinion of me, and I've got to have a good, if people don't have a good opinion of me, then I'm crushed. And that's the way most people live their lives. Not just teenagers, it's all the way up, and it's in the adult world just as much. In fact, most people actually become, this is what I became in life, they become a chameleon. You go into the Christian church, and you go into the church where everybody goes, and you come in the church, and you go, hallelujah, and you come into the church where everybody sits, and you sit. And or you go into a certain place where kids are dressed a certain way, and you start to dress a certain way, and you go into a place where people talk a certain way, and you start to talk a certain way, and you just kind of move in the midst of these different groups, trying to fit in, trying to be accepted, trying to be liked and wanted by other people. You guys, this is the way of the world. Trying to be someone in order to satisfy yourself and others. Trying to convince yourself through the opinion of others that you're special. But I got to tell you guys tonight, there's good news from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you guys a minute about, imagine if you could, Some of you have heard this story before. Imagine if you could, God, he's kneeling by a riverbank. I'm getting old. He's kneeling by a riverbank, and he reaches into the side of the riverbank, and he pulls down this big, huge mound of mud. He pulls down another mound of mud, and as he's doing this, all the animals start to gather up on the riverbank because they're really curious. And animals that back then, they talk, so they're all talking to each other. What's he doing? I don't know. Yeah, this is pretty cool. And so he's pulling down all this mud, and he gets a piece of mud, and he starts to work on this piece of mud. And he works with this piece of mud, and he just keeps working it, and then he sets it down, and he steps back, and he smiles. And then he grabs some more mud, and he starts to form some more things, and he just keeps working and working. And as he's working, the elephant says, "Hey, you guys notice anything strange about that? That looks kind of like him a little bit." And he just keeps on forming and working, and you know, he makes this just perfect head, and he makes this perfect nose, and these lips, and his cheek, and it's just amazing, and all the animals are just, they're getting quieter and quieter. He's just so amazed by what God's doing, and he's just making this creature, and he just forms his chest, and then he opens it up and he starts to make this long thing like this, and then he takes it and he rabbles it up in there. Intestines. And then he makes a heart and he forms it. And you know, in the middle of this operation that he's doing, he didn't step back and just go, "Oh, shoot! I messed up on the nose. I gotta start over." Do you know why God didn't do that? Because God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. And he just kept on forming this man all the way down to his feet, except for I think it was more like his feet. And then it says in the Bible that he got down, and this is how I like to imagine it. He put one hand on this man, on his hand here, put another hand here, and he leaned over, and he says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Wow. And then he stood up, and he helped Adam up, and they gave each other a big hug, and all the animals cheered. And the very first thing that Adam saw when he stood up, as he looked right into the eyes of his Creator. When God made you, He did not make a mistake. When you look in the mirror and you think, "Oh, yeah, I stink." No, you're beautiful. God didn't mess up when He made you. It says in Psalms 139, it says, God formed you in, he says, "You formed my inward parts." Literally, God knit you together in your mother's womb. Piece by piece, He put you together. How many of you guys have seen a baby be born before? You know, you say, "Ew," but I got to tell you, I saw my nephew be born. And I have never seen anything more incredible in my life than that. And when he came out, I saw this perfect little boy with fingers and toes and eyes and nose and, you know, and I was just like, I just started crying. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, "This is unbelievable. This is unreal. This is impossible. This is God at His finest when He made you." Isaiah 43 says, "Thus says the Lord who formed you, fear not, I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name. You are mine." This week, I want you guys to think seriously about what God thinks about you. Not necessarily what that person next to you thinks, the person across the hall, someone who looks down their nose at you, someone who treats you kind of like you're not much because you're not popular. What does God think about you? God made you. He formed you. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's pouring out of Him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on you, that you should be called sons and daughters of God. Who am I? Oh, I'm a child of God. In fact, I'm not just a child of God. I'm a child of a king. And this is a truth that I want you guys to get, because this is important. You're not just a nobody sitting there tonight. You're a child of a king. That makes you royalty. That means, ladies, when you look in the mirror tonight, doesn't matter if you have a zit on the end of your nose. Doesn't matter if your hair is not just right. Oh, it rained. Oh, my hair. When you look in the mirror, what you see looking back at you is a princess. You're royalty. And nobody can tell you differently, because God said that that's what you are. He said, you're my daughter. You are mine. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. And no matter what anybody on this earth tells you, no matter how many times the devil tries to lie to you, that is what you are. You're my daughter. You're mine. Guys, putting that cologne on in the morning, fixing your hair, getting all looking good for the ladies, putting on that nice shirt, squirting stuff in your mouth. Let me tell you something, guys. God didn't make you for no reason. Every single one of you has been made specifically for a reason, and you are a son of a king. You're a son of a king, men. And you know what that means? You're not just a prince. You're a knight. And if you think I'm full of it, all you got to do is look in Ephesians 6. Because you've been given a sword. And if you've been given a sword and you're a son of a king and you're a prince, that means you're a knight. And you have a battle to fight, men. All of us have a battle to fight, but you men especially have a battle to fight. You guys are royalty, every single one of you here tonight. And that is your identity, and we're going to talk about what that means this week. Because it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop with, I'm a child of God. Man, there's so much that comes out of that identity. I want you guys to stand on that. I am a child of a king. Stand on that soul like a rock. The rock is Jesus. You can stand on it. You can stake a claim on it. Nobody can take that from you for the rest of your life. You believe in Jesus Christ. You ask Him to be your personal Savior. You are a child of God. Nobody can steal that from you. Not even death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, it's a privilege to be sitting here in this room with all these princes and princesses. Lord, this week as we talk about our identity, who we are in Christ, Lord, I pray against the attack of the enemy, Lord. Because tonight, as soon as we walk out these doors, he's going to get busy trying to continue the lies that we believed in our heads about ourselves. Lord, I pray tonight that you help each of these young ladies, each of these young men, to believe what you say about them. Because, Lord, you never speak anything but the truth. Father, just be with us as we go through this week of prayer. Just bless this week of prayer, Father. May your Spirit dwell on this campus, in every building, every dorm room, in every student's heart, in every faculty member's heart, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you will work miracles in our lives this week here at Upper Columbia Academy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. Thank you, Forrest. Before you take off, need to tell you something. Some of you know, most of you probably know that Chloe and her siblings and Tyler and they got in a car accident and they rolled 3 times. You guys are aware of that? This was not again, no, not again. Same one. And because of that car accident, she had to have in-depth scans done, CT scans, and they looked closely at those that were in the accident to see if they had any spinal injuries, things like that. And it was discovered that Chloe has some small tumors on her thyroid. Yeah. So she's been in limbo, kind of waiting to see if they're cancerous or not. And this evening, me and Pastor Fred and Pastor Ken and about 5 other pastors gathered at her house, and we did an anointing service on her because today she went into the doctor and they injected radioactive substance into her veins and put her under the the machine that reads that. And they say that if they're hot spots, what they call them, then they're not cancerous. But if they're cold spots, they could be. Most of the time they are. She had 3 little tumors. 2 of them were cold and 1 was hot. So she has 2 tumors, 1 on each side of her thyroid, that are potentially cancer. Now the good news is, while we were there at her house, the doctor called and she got her blood test back and it was normal. It doesn't mean she doesn't have cancer, but it means that she doesn't have a host of other things like Hodgkin's and other horrible things that it could have been. So that was a praise God there. But she's not out of the woods yet. It's positive in that the thyroid can be removed from the body and you can live fine, but still scary, and she's still not sure. They're gonna go in there and take a sample and do all their tests to find out for sure whether it's cancerous or not. But mostly is positive news. But I know how loved Chloe is, and so what I'd like to do right now is to have some special prayer for her before we leave. And she gave me permission to tell you all this because you're her family, and that's how she put it. And she wants her family to know. So, let's try this as quickly as we can. Let's try and form a circle around this sanctuary, okay? And I would like 3 just to represent UCA, 3 people to please join me. And maybe more than 3.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea, Daniel.
That would pray. And we're just going to lift her up to Jesus.
Yes.
Because he can heal anything according to his will. By the way, those of us who have been following this believe wholeheartedly that she had that car accident in which no one was seriously hurt so that she would have that scan, so that she could find those tumors. Which is already a miracle. It's a miracle that no one was hurt, and it's a miracle that she was in that accident in the first place. So we already have cause to praise God. This is awesome. Okay, Sasha's going to start, and Trainer Alex will end. So it'll be, yeah.
Lord God, we knew that when you created Chloe, God, you knew that this would happen. We know you know that everything that would lead up to this and everything that will follow this, God, we also know that you are the master healer, God. You create, you heal, you give and take away, God. I pray that you would just put your hand over Chloe right now, God, that you would let your will be done, God, but I hope your will is looking close to what I want. And I pray that you would just guide the doctors and the surgeons, God, that you would protect her, God, that you would overshadow her with your love, and that no matter what happens, God, that you would just cradle her and cradle us, God, in all of your goodness, and just hold her close, God. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, you know how much Chloe means to all of us, and especially me. And I pray that, you know, the car crash, I can see how that was a good thing now. And I pray that, you know, you'll help me to see the good end in this, I guess. And whatever, you get the point. So just please take care of her and keep comforting her as you have been. And help us all to be as much of a help to her as possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Jesus, today is a bad day. God, I don't know what's happening with Chloe. I hope she doesn't have cancer, God, but if she does, please just take care of her. Like Sasha said, it'd be nice if your plan was kind of what mine is, but I guess it doesn't always work like that, God, and please just take care of Chloe right now and her family, and all of us that love her.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Chloe means so much to this school, and she's put a lot of herself into it, and we all know that, and she's a great girl, and just be with her as she goes through all this. She's had a rough couple of months or weeks, and just be with her, and also be with her family, because this is hard, Lord. This is very tough, and just be with her and help her to get through it, and just bless her family, Lord. Amen.
I wanted to invite those of you who want to stay around. We're going to have a time of prayer if you want to continue to pray for Chloe or for her siblings or for her family or anything that's on your heart. I think this is what Brian would want as well. I especially want to invite those of you who can relate to the message tonight. Those of you who would like to talk to Brian or to myself, or to somebody about your identity and who you really are. We'll be here for that and to pray. So you're dismissed now. Thank you so much. I know you love Chloe, and she loves you like crazy, and I'm glad we could gather together, and it's going to be cool to get the report of what God's going to do. So you guys are dismissed now.